Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. The Dog Talk Show is also brought to you by all the best pet care, all the best food, treats, and toys for your cat and dog. Go to allthebestpetcare.com and see where all of their 9 locations are around Western Washington. So we have a great show today. We have Tim Percival with us, who will be joining us in the second segment on talking about disaster preparedness and also what to have in your doggy first aid kit. And this is just great, you know, probably obviously great timing. I know there's been, seems like disaster after disaster with the tornadoes in Joplin, Missouri. And then I know it has hit very close to home, the tsunami in Japan.
Right.
An earthquake, because that is something that would kind of, something that we could relate to here, because that's probably what it would look like similar in our area as well if something happened close to us too.
And we've been very lucky here in Western Washington,
yes,
to avoid most disasters
so far.
The rest of the world has seen. But we do lie under the threat, I guess, of a volcano eruption,
mm-hmm,
at any point, possibility of tsunami. So
yeah,
you just never know.
Well, they say it's only a matter of time. I mean, it could be hundreds of years from now, but
let's
still.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Pause crossed.
Yeah, and you know, you don't hear a lot in the news, or it's not the first thing you hear about in the news when disaster strikes, about the pets. But I know for myself, my first concern would be my pets, my partner and my pets locally. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be talking with Tim about, you know, what you can do to be as prepared as possible if something like that does happen.
Well, you know, when Katrina happened, that really pushed the plight of pets in disasters to the forefront of America's consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, very interesting.
Yeah. So before we talk with Tim, I do have a few announcements, and we've got some great events. It is summer, so this area is just,
believe it or not,
loaded. Yeah. Is just loaded with dog events. We've got coming up, I can't believe it's already mid-July.
I know.
Weird. July 23rd is Go Dog Go, which is the Kirkland Canine Festival and Dog Walk. And that is from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Juanita Beach Park in Kirkland. Lots of really fun, like, dog sport type things, agility, freestyle, disc dogs, fly ball, entertainment for adults and children, face painting, food vendors, and more. And you can go to kirklandwa.gov/GDG to find out more information about that. But that's going to be July 23rd, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., Juanita Beach Park in Kirkland. Fido Fest is in September. That is University Village's event to celebrate all things dog. Sunday, September 25th at University Village in Seattle. Sunday morning, Seattle Humane Society will kick off the day with Walk for the Animals. And after the walk, activities will include City Dog Magazine's Top Model Search, pet-friendly beer garden, music, entertainment, various dog contests, vendor booths, and Seattle Humane Society's adoption section, where you'll be able to meet pets who are in need of homes. And that's Fido Fest. Again, that's September 25th at University Village. Wanted to let Dog Talk Show listeners know that we have one of our advertisers is offering a special deal for Dog Talk Show fans. Dr. Don's Automotive in Ballard. They have two locations. One is on Leary Way, and one is just a few blocks off of that on 50th in Ballard in Seattle. Dog Talk Show fans get 5% off parts and labor at Dr. Don's Automotive. And I just recently took my car there for a brake job, and I called the dealership and asked them how much it was going to be, and then I called Dr. Don's and asked them how much it was going to be, and what kind of brake pads they used. And they use higher quality brake pads, and they were less expensive than the dealership. So that was a no-brainer. And Dog Talk Show fans get 5% off on top of that. So check them out, Dr. Don's Automotive in Ballard. I saw a poster when I was out and about in Seattle about a wolves exhibit at the Burke Museum in University District. The Burke Museum of Natural History and Culture, I think. And it's the University of Washington's museum, I believe. And they're doing a wolves exhibit all summer long.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds like a howling good time.
It does. And we've had the folks from Wolfhaven on the show, which is a relatively local. They're in Tenino, Washington, down south, and they are a wolf sanctuary. And it's a really, really, they do great work there, and it's really interesting stuff. And we got to go and take a tour. I definitely recommend doing that. You can go down and take a tour and see the wolves. And when we were there, all of the wolves started howling. And there's no equal sound to me than the sound of wolves howling, especially in person. It's just gave us chills.
Spine tingling.
So beautiful. So the wolves exhibit, Wolves and Wild Lands in the 21st Century, is running through September 5th. So you have all summer long to go to the Burke Museum and check out that. The website is burkemuseum.org. And they are open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. Looking forward to checking that out, too. And I just found out that the dates for this year's annual Vashon Sheepdog Classic has been announced. It's September 30th, October 1st, and October 2nd. And that's on Vashon Island at Misty Isle Farms. It is a lovely day out of the city. It's on this beautiful farm, rolling hills. You bring a blanket, you sit on this hillside, and you watch mostly border collies and some kelpies, another herding breed that works similarly to the border collie, do their thing with the sheep. And it is really something to watch. Last year we went and it was a gorgeous day. They have local food available for sale, but you can bring your own, set up a blanket, picnic, and just watch the dogs work. It's really beautiful to watch, and it's a really fun event. That's the Vashon Sheepdog Classic, and we'll have to have Maggie McClure, who is the coordinator of that event, we'll have to have her back on the show soon to talk more about that. So that is it for the announcements. You can also go to City Dog Magazine's website. They have a great events page, and you can find out about more local events that are going on if you go to citydogmagazine.com and just click on their events page. And then it'll list these events that I've announced, the Go Dog Go and Fido Fest, among others as well, so you can see what's going on in your area. So when we come back, we will be talking with Tim Percival, who is an animal disaster responder and instructor. And he's going to talk to us about what we can do to prepare as best we can if disaster strikes our area, how to care, make sure that our pets are cared for, and do whatever we can to make sure that we can take care of our pets if something were to happen. If the city shut down for a week, you know, do you have enough food? Do you have cash on hand? Stuff like that. So when we come back from break, we'll be talking with Tim Percival. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com. Or follow them on Facebook.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., we cover the world of animals. This week, our favorite old ladies from the high desert of Arizona will join us for the show. We'll update the fire aftermath, plus lots of time for story time with Willa. Promise I won't forget the lion going to show and tell with her son story, and I want to know more about what it's like to work with the Siegfried and Roy white tigers in the tunnels under the stage in Las Vegas. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Dr. Don's Automotive recommends servicing your air conditioning and cabin filters regularly to minimize noise for sound-sensitive dogs and to keep your puppy cool in the summer heat. Visit DrDon'sAutomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
News, traffic, and weather? Now you can get your information fixed weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. And we are back now with Tim Percival in the booth with us, animal disaster responder and instructor. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. So this is something that I've, you know, your timing is just great. I was so happy to hear from you because I've personally been thinking about, you know, in the wake of the, you know, Japan disasters and, you know, it's like, oh, you know, for me, it's my pets. I don't have children. I don't have family that lives out here except for my partner. So for me, it would be like, oh, well, what about the pets? I mean, what should I have in preparation for something like that? Like, what if we're almost at the end of the bag of our food and something like that happens? Something like that that, I don't know, people may not even think about. And it's not something that I necessarily want to think about either because it's kind of upsetting, but just because I don't want to think about it doesn't mean that it might not happen. So I'm glad to have you on the show so that you can share with us your expertise in this area and tell us, you know, give us some tips about, you know, what can we do to prepare as best we can in this region, especially for what types of disasters may happen.
You know, in the Northwest, we have several different kinds of disasters that we may get, including earthquake is the main one that we may get, and that can happen at any time. Mm-hmm. We have volcanoes. We could have lahars. You've mentioned tsunamis.
What's a lahar?
A lahar is a flow of mud coming from all the glacier melt from the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the major ones. But the smaller ones that happen all the time are the snowstorms,
sure,
the windstorms,
yep,
flooding.
Yep.
All those things happen all the time on a much smaller scale. And just because it may not make national news, it may still impact you.
Sure. Good point. So what can people do? You know, what are some of the things that you can recommend, you know, people with pets should you know, either have on hand, or I know a lot of it is being organized with information and having information readily available, you know, anything from hotel contacts and maps, how to get there and all sorts of stuff.
You know, one of the things I usually tell people when it comes to disaster preparedness is imagine yourself camping for a week.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to need for your dog for a week if you don't have electricity, you don't have drinking water, and you don't have a phone?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can imagine that, that's pretty much what you're going to need whenever you decide to go camping. It's also what you're going to need during a disaster.
Okay.
Some of those things, everybody thinks disaster preparedness includes buying things.
Mm-hmm.
But probably the most important thing, in my opinion, is identification of your dog.
Mm-hmm.
A microchip or tattoo, some sort of ID, a permanent ID on the animal is crucial. Because if you do become separated from your dog, you want to make sure that you can be reunited. And if that dog does get in a shelter, those are going to help you reunite with your animal.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you want to have photos of your dog. The missing pet partnerships, which I know you've had them on the show before,
yeah,
they're great at this, but you want to have photos of your dogs, and then you also want to have photos of you with your dog.
Okay.
Because in a shelter, unfortunately, some people decide to go shopping inside of a shelter, and we won't...
During a disaster, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe they're looking for a pet that, you know, a new pet. Or,
and that's your dog.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we don't usually give animals away, but if you can prove that an animal is yours, then that's going to be very beneficial.
Okay. So a photo of you and your dog, photo of your dog, and you said at different angles is a good idea?
Yeah, it's pretty much from every angle. Then if your dog has any specific markings, maybe a spot, maybe a missing tooth, maybe its tail has a marking, or its paw.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you get close-ups of those.
Okay. And then identification. So, you know, microchip, something that's a permanent, so because collars can fall off or, you know, whatever. And then also making sure if you have a microchip that your microchip information is updated with the company.
That is so important.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they don't update that information.
Mm-hmm.
So when they move or they get a new cell phone number, the company has all the old information, and now they have no way of tracking you in case they find your lost animal.
Right. So now what about what to have? So like what would be, I mean, that makes sense. Like imagine if you were going camping. So what do you mean? Give us some examples of that. I mean, obviously like water, food.
Yeah, you'll need water and food.
Yeah.
Any medication.
Okay.
Now, the other thing, there may be some people that feed raw.
Yep.
And if they feed raw or their animals are on medication that requires refrigeration, then they need to have an ice chest with maybe some ice packs or something like that to keep that food fresh or the medication good.
Mm-hmm.
You'll want to have extra collars. And then in your disaster kit for your dog, I always suggest a slip lead. And a slip lead because it will fit any animal.
Right.
So if you have a Chihuahua or a Great Dane, that same lead will fit both of those animals.
Yep.
So I suggest slip leads, and then make sure you have extra identification. So have a collar with an ID tag on there also.
Yeah. And then as far as information goes, like the dog's vaccine information, health information, stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, all that's so important. You want to make sure you have proof of ownership. You have any vaccine information, because what happens is as soon as the animal gets inside of a shelter, then they're going to vaccinate those animals. And we don't want to over-vaccinate, but we have to have proof of vaccinations.
Yeah.
And if you go into a people shelter, you may not and probably won't be able to go in with your dog.
Right.
So your dog will be in a separate shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have any kind of information that you want, and just make a copy of it, put it right there in your disaster kit. And that way, if there is a disaster, it's already ready. You don't have to go looking for it through your files.
Anything else that somebody might not think about actually having on hand, you know, in addition to food and water and the information, any other kind of things that people might not think about?
I would suggest some toys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your goal during disaster is to make everything normal again.
Mm.
So bring some toys, bring a bed, bring something that's comfortable and that the dog knows.
Yep. And then maybe a kennel. yeah. or with a tarp or something like that.
Yeah, you want to make sure you have a kennel and make sure that your dog is crate trained, because if it goes into a shelter, it's going to go into a crate.
Yeah.
So you'll want to have I suggest a sheet. Make sure you have a sheet and a tarp. That way, if it's in the mud, you can put the tarp underneath to protect your dog. And if it's in the summer, you can have a sheet on top to help keep it cool during the sun. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, one of the things I saw was like a rescue remedy or something to help calm a dog.
Yeah, that's always nice, because a lot of dogs become very anxious.
Yeah.
They're in a stressful situation.
Sure.
They're away from you.
Yeah.
People are pulling them in and out of crates that they have no idea who they are. In a site of an emergency animal shelter, there's barking going on nonstop, 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's something that will help calm your dog, definitely.
Yeah. And so, and this is something else that I think it was information that I came across, just not just specific to pets, but just in general, was to have cash.
Yeah, cash. You know, again, think when you're camping. You don't have access to phone. You don't have electricity. So if you go into a store and you need to buy some new dog food because you're out, how are you going to be able to buy that dog food if their ATM or credit card machine's not working?
Right.
So if you have cash, you can buy it.
Yeah.
On another hand, if you're going to a hotel and their machine isn't working, are they going to accept you because you have cash, or somebody else that has a credit card? Probably you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to give you an edge in a disaster situation too.
And then also having, as far as the hotels go, having a list of pet-friendly hotels, both kind of close to you and then also a little further away, and even maps to them from your house, or and then, you know, emergency vet clinics, and just kind of having all that information in a folder or something like that, so that if you need it, you know it's in the kit, you grab it and go.
Definitely. One of the main things that you should have in your kit are a bunch of Ziploc bags. So if you have all that information inside a Ziploc, now it's waterproof.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you nailed it. Make sure you have a map to that location, because in a disaster, you may not know. And if you have all the information, including a phone number, the hours of operation, especially with the hotel, if you can call them as soon as the disaster happens, hey, we're on our way, make your reservation, because along those highways, those hotels are going to book up really quick.
Yeah. I think, because I don't know what it would take for phone systems. I mean, I definitely take my phone for granted, I think. But for cell phones to not be working if it was a larger scale disaster, like towers go down or something like that. And I know I rely on my phone to look up addresses, you know, as I'm driving around visiting clients. So if I didn't have that, I would have no way to look it up. And, you know, I wouldn't have my Google Maps in my palm. So to actually have a printout of a map and directions.
Yeah, definitely. You know, people become, including me, have become so reliant on having their cell phones. And then the Squally quake approximately 10 years ago, we couldn't communicate to one another on our cell phones. I couldn't talk to my wife, and we were in the same town.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing to have is an out-of-area contact to where you can call from a landline. But you're right. You can't call. You won't be able to get a hold of somebody. You won't be able to look up where you're going. So if you have those maps and all the information, it'll help you a lot.
So things to have on hand for your dogs and potentially your cats too. You know, if you've got cats like Eric does, you know, food and water. So you're saying to think about if you were camping with your pets, do you know, for like a week, what would you need? That length of time, food at least. If you have medication or food that needs to be refrigerated, how are you going to keep that cool? Or do you have an alternative in emergency situations? If your dog does eat raw food, are they used to some kibble in their diet so that you can have that? Cash, I think, makes a lot of sense to me for a lot of different reasons. Just having cash on hand if the credit card machines aren't working or the banks are closed and all that kind of stuff. Crates, blanket, tarp, slip leads, extra identification, vaccine information, printouts of local hotels, and emergency vets, both near and far, if you have to relocate. Now, you had made a really good point, and we're going to take a break. But when we come back, you said, you know, a lot of people say, I would never leave my animals at home during a disaster. And I would be one of those people. Like, I'd be the person on the roof, like, refusing to leave, or, you know, I just, it would be my first priority. But you had a good point about that. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. And then also, you've actually, you know, been on scene for disasters. I know that you just returned from one. So we'll kind of hear your some stories and your perspective about what it's like actually being there. So we'll be back with Tim Percival, animal disaster responder and instructor. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
I looked into the mats and I asked all the cats. I went to the vet, have you heard anything yet? My dog was lost, but now he's found. My dog was lost, but now he's found.
Do you know there is an insurance company that offers great rates, quality service, and cares about your furry companions? Progressive will help cover the cost of your vet bills if you and your pet are involved in an accident. Call the good guys at Eastside Insurance, who represent Progressive Insurance and other fine companies. Contact Tom or Chuck at e-z-insurance.com for a free quote or call 877-817-4103. Eastside Insurance, where you and your pet can rest insured.
Looking for the perfect collar for your dog or cat, but all the stores have all the same selection? Can't find just the right bed to fit your home and your pet? Is your pup feeling chilly and wanting a coat to keep warm? Bido and Scratch is Seattle's perfectly balanced pet supply store, carrying everything you need to furnish and feed your cat or dog. They are located in Seattle's Mount Banker neighborhood, just around the corner from the new Mount Banker Light Rail Station on McClellan. For more information, contact the store at 206-588-2111 or friend Bido and Scratch on Facebook.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Let Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are talking with Tim Percival, animal disaster responder and instructor. Welcome back, Tim.
Thanks.
So you made a good point just before the show where a lot of people say, you know, oh, I would never leave my animals at home during a disaster. I would always take them with me. So there's other circumstances, though, that can happen where people may not have control over that. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. Whenever I teach disaster preparedness, people say they would never leave their animals at home. But what if you're at the grocery store? What if you're at work? Unless the animal's with you 24/7, you have to leave them at home or in the care of somebody at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that you have to plan for, and there's several different ways to do that. You can find your neighbors to help plan for that. But you also just have to make sure that you talk to people and you have various routes. For example, for me to get home to my pets, because I have to leave them at home while I'm at work, mm-hmm. I have to cross over numerous bridges.
Mm.
My wife, on the other hand, doesn't. And why is that important? Because we have earthquakes. Mm-hmm. So if you're at work and there's an earthquake, everybody knows about the viaduct and how the condition that it's in. Mm-hmm. But other bridges can collapse. So mm-hmm. you have to plan for that.
Yeah. And so what can you do then to plan for that? If your dogs are at home and you've been gone and something happens while you're gone and you can't get there, I mean, what do you do?
Well, it's something that you need to think about. Maybe your neighbors can come and check on your dogs. Maybe you have somebody that stays at home during the day, a neighbor that stays at home during the day, and they can come check on your right. dog. So make sure they get to know your animal so that they're comfortable with that person coming into your home.
So the dogs let them in?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have big dogs, and they wouldn't let some people in.
No. Now, you have Swiss Mountain Dogs.
That's correct.
Greater Swiss Mountain Dogs. Yeah.
They're my babies.
Yeah, and people probably just wouldn't even try to come in.
Yeah, they'll bark nonstop.
Yeah. Well, and they're like 150 pounds or something like
that's
that, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. So a big deterrent on the plus side to home intruders.
Definitely.
Okay, so if your animals were at home, you know, being in communication with your close by community so that, like, if there was an earthquake, maybe there's somebody within walking distance at least that could come by and check on your pets and, you know, make sure that they had water or even potentially feed them or, you know, let them out or something like that, having somebody close by. So now you just got back from, where was it?
I was in Memphis for the flooding.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit about, you know, either that trip or trips that you've been on and, you know, what you do as a responder.
Well, I'm a boots on the ground person generally on responses. I either do the search and rescue out in the field or generally I'm inside of a shelter and working in the shelter, and I have various jobs in the shelter. Mm-hmm. This last deployment I was on, I was handling the aggressive animals and the bite hold animals. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize is during a disaster, the nicest animals, they change completely. They're
sure.
under stress.
Yeah.
So you have to be a pretty skilled handler with some of those animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more comfortable you have your animal getting inside of a crate, having various people handle them, it's going to be more comfortable with them or for them inside of a shelter.
Yeah.
So in my position, I was handling some of the aggressives and some of the bite holds, and the bite holds is because they bit vet techs generally, people that were very experienced, but they weren't experienced being in a disaster.
So what does that mean, bite hold?
A bite hold is a dog that has actually bitten somebody, and they're pretty much on quarantine until they can be tested and make sure that everything's okay.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you just basically handle them and take care for them?
Correct. I mean, the dogs are inside of a crate, so they still have to be fed and have to have water, go out for walks. We generally have it's very cautious with those animals. But truthfully, a lot of the animals in the bite hold are super sweet animals that are just under stress.
Yep.
It's a really sad situation.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's something that I think general society really doesn't understand about dog bites, is that you can get any dog to bite under the right circumstances, and a lot of dogs fear bite. And
correct.
So if you've got a situation where they're freaked out and you try to grab them, you know, in another circumstance, you'd never think that dog would bite. But if they get freaked out as animals, or they feel like they're cornered or whatever, then you can see aggression from them. And
definitely. And that's, again, I'm going to go back to crate training, because we have these animals inside of a crate. If they've never been in one, they're going to be fearful, and they are going to be protective because they have such a small area.
And just so anxious.
Exactly.
I mean, for their own experience and trying to make them as comfortable as possible through that process until they hopefully get reunited with their owner.
Correct. And the more animals there are, the less time we can spend with each one.
Right.
If there aren't very many animals, then we can spend a lot of time with a lot of them. So,
what is the... do you have, if you can think of something, what is the biggest mistake people make as far as like how people react or respond to, like, when something like that happens, like it's a flood or it's something's happening Is there something that you see commonly or a common misconception that people might have other than that they think that they always would have the choice to bring their pet with them?
I think around here, it was mentioned earlier that we've been lucky and we haven't had any major disasters. I think the big one is it's not going to happen to me.
Yeah.
And it can happen to anybody. Yeah. But, you know, you have to think rationally. You have to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to help people and their animals in the long run.
Mm-hmm. So having a disaster supply kit. So we talked about a week's worth of, like, imagine if you were going camping for a week, what would you need? You know, something that I hadn't thought of because my dogs aren't on medication right now. They're young, but dogs on medication. I mean, a lot of dogs are on medication that they need to survive. So what if they, you know, what if you didn't have access to that for a week or 2 weeks or, you know, a month even?
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I always try to point out to people is if you don't have access to your vet, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And your vet may be impacted too. If there's been an earthquake or some disaster near you, your vet has probably also been impacted by that.
Sure.
So that's the reason to have other vets from other areas. And if you have all the records in your kit,
yeah,
then they'll give you the
sure.
medication.
Right. And then another point you made too is that a lot of people get their food and supplies at their regular pet supply store. But what if that store is affected, you know, having a list of other stores in your area or maybe even out of your area that carry what you need?
Correct. You know, that's
and then having the cash to pay for it.
And having the map on how to get there.
Right. Well, my goodness. So any other, where else have you been as far as a responder?
Well, I was, like I said, I was just in Memphis. Mm-hmm. I've been for puppy mills and hoarding cases and in different places. Last year I was in Pennsylvania for a hoarding case, and I was in Mississippi for a puppy mill seizure also.
Mm.
So
gotta love those puppy mills.
Yeah, you know, it's always rough. People always ask me how I do it, and I always tell them, I know they're going in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to see the conditions, smell the conditions,
mm-hmm.
That they've been in and that they've put up with, but knowing that they found homes, it's a really good feeling.
And how long have you been doing this?
With animals, not very long, maybe 3 years or so. My history is I'm a firefighter,
mm-hmm.
So I've been on emergency responses on various different times.
Now, when you're doing the animal response, okay, I have a couple questions. One, how does it impact you emotionally? I mean, are you able to sort of really see the bigger picture of it? Or do you get upset and then just have to kind of work through it? Because I know I would.
Well, one of the things, if you respond with a really good agency, they're there for you mentally. They mm-hmm. have mental health professionals that will help you. But for me, I haven't really had much of a problem with the hard things. I really get excited whenever I see that reunion in Memphis, to see this home. These people came in and their home was flooded. The water was pretty much up to their ceiling or up to their roof. And they came and saw their three dogs and two cats.
Ugh.
And that's what kept them. That's what kept them sane was seeing those animals.
Yeah.
And then I've kept in touch with them afterwards, and now they're in a temporary home. And they said they didn't even have their electricity turned on yet. It's going to be turned on in the next day or so. But they had their animals, and that was what was important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made me happy. And they were really happy with the care that they got at the shelter.
Wow. God, I would be just in a puddle on the floor if I witnessed that reunion.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So how did the animals get from the house to the shelter?
Well, there's different ways, depending on what organizations are helping. A lot of times there's a liaison from the animal shelter that's in the people shelters. There's all kinds of media that happens, so that way people know that they need to take the animals to the shelter. They know where the shelter is. There's then we also have animal search and rescue. So in Memphis and in Joplin, which I wasn't in Joplin, but we had search and rescue teams going out and trying to capture animals.
And are they using dogs to do that?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Sometimes I know Missing Pet Partnerships quite well, and it's just recent, actually listened to your show, that I thought, well, you know what, that would be a great partnership.
Yeah.
Is to actually use the dogs to do that. But no, right now we haven't been.
Huh, interesting. Because no better way to find anything than with a dog.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the people that are going out are the most experienced people. They're usually animal control officers or they know what they're doing.
Okay.
And, you know, and one of the things, a tip, if you're in a disaster, I always tell people slower is better.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rush up to an animal, especially if it's in a corner. Let it come to you. And I think Kat had talked about that in one of your episodes earlier.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, Tim is going to share with us some ideas for a pet first aid kit. So not necessarily, disaster, although it would certainly be good to have on hand during a natural disaster. But just otherwise, what are some good things to have on hand around the house for a pet first aid kit? You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Cut through the clutter with the latest up-to-date information on happenings in the world of real estate, mortgage, and personal finance. Tune in Wednesdays at 3 p.m. for Brashonomics, an upbeat, interesting, and informative hour you don't want to miss. Hosted by Ben Brashen, you'll be entertained and informed as Ben and his guests of industry professionals share ideas and strategies you can use every day in your own life. You won't want to miss this show. Brashonomics has the information you need to stay in the know. Tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. You'll be glad you did.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are back talking with Tim Percival animal responder, disaster responder, and instructor. Welcome back, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
On a side note, Eric just informed me that that's the original version of the ever so popular
Who Let the Dogs Out? It used to be known as Doggy.
Oh, yes. Interesting. Well, you learn something new every day.
Whether you want to or not.
Whether you want to or not. And we're learning a lot about disaster, how to prepare for a disaster, either a major disaster like an earthquake or tsunami, like an or volcanic eruption like in our area, or maybe more common disasters, windstorms, flooding, snowstorms, power outages, etc. And Tim has been talking to us about how to prepare. And if you've missed any part of this show, you can listen to the entire show either on the Dog Talk Show website, which is dogtalkshow.com. You can also download the podcast for free from iTunes. Just search for the Dog Talk Show on iTunes, and you can find the most recent show, and that will be this interview. And you can also listen to any of our past shows. We've had, I think, over 120 now about all sorts of various topics. So Tim, what about just like a first aid, like a household pet first aid kit?
You know, pet first aid kits are great. My suggestion is to have a people first aid kit with pet supplies in it.
Okay.
Because pet first aid kits, if you go into the store and buy one, they're pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the stuff in there are the same as a people first aid kit.
Okay.
You add a leash, you add a collar, and some other specific items, and it's all in one kit. So rather than having multiple kits inside your car, inside your home, you can have one kit.
Okay. Good idea. And so what are some tips as far as things that people can have that would be really useful?
Probably one of the most important things to have is a muzzle. Even if you have the friendliest dog, you want to have a muzzle or be able to or know how to tie a muzzle.
Okay.
Out of different things. Because an injured dog can still bite you.
Right.
So even if it's the friendliest. So
yep.
A muzzle.
Okay.
Elizabethan collar or something like that can help. Especially if you have a short-nosed breed like a bulldog or a pug, something like that. So that way you can still help the dog and you have some protection if you can't put a muzzle on the animal.
Okay.
So
good to know.
Those are a couple of the most important, in my opinion. Then also I'm going to go back to the slip lead.
Yeah.
Making sure you have a slip lead. And a slip lead, I carry a slip lead with me almost all the time because with that I can make a muzzle, I can make a harness, I can make a halter,
mm-hmm.
All kinds of things. So a slip lead is a great thing, and it'll fit a Chihuahua or, again, like a Mastiff or a Great Dane.
Or like a Swiss Mountain Dog.
Or a Greater Swiss Mountain Dog,
right.
Yeah.
All right.
So another thing, whenever I teach pet first aid classes, I try to show items that you can just find anywhere mm-hmm. because there's maybe a month or two ago, a gentleman was playing fetch with this dog, and there was a stick that went through the dog and had to get major surgery.
Ugh.
So, yeah, it's a really sad and scary thing. So if you take a water bottle and you cut the top off of it, then you you have a tool that can be used for multiple things. First of all, you don't want to pull that stick out.
Yeah.
But what you can do is you take that water bottle and the stick is sticking in there, and you can support that object so that way it's not acting like a lever hurting the animal on the inside.
Sort of like help stabilize
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah, help stabilize it.
Okay.
So that you can do that. And it's a cheap little handy device that you have just about everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a pocket knife and a water bottle
mm-hmm.
and you have it. It can also be something that you put over the snout of a dog. So if you need to give rescue breaths, you can do that without putting your mouth directly over the nose of the animal,
mm-hmm.
which for my own pets, I wouldn't have a problem with. But if I pull this animal out of sewage or a bad area, I still don't want to do that. I don't want to contaminate myself.
Mm. Good point.
So, and it can also be used as a little miniature water bowl. If all you have is a water bottle, you keep the lid on it and you have a small little water bowl.
Yep.
So something that's readily available, they're all over the place, can easily be used.
Yeah. So pretty much a human first aid kit with, you know, and I know I've used vet wrap a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That might not be in a human first aid kit, but it's this really flexible kind of sticky wrap that is great. I've used that for, if my dog sliced his paw pad, or, you know, and you have to kind of bandage it, that wrap is great to keep it on.
Definitely. Vet wrap is great. And they use human versions. It's just not in all the fancy colors usually.
Right.
So it can be used for people or for animals. And yeah, your typical first aid kit supplies, you know, bandaging, gauze, some antibiotic ointment.
Antiseptic.
Yeah. Something to clean is all really good. A bandana is a really good thing to use.
Yeah.
You can use that for cooling, for creating a splint or tying something together.
What about like Benadryl?
Benadryl is great too, if you know, depending on the dosage for the dog.
Sure.
But yeah, to help relax your dog, or for allergies.
Yep. And so to help too, if you have something like that on hand, to maybe have a little cheat sheet in there as far as what the dosage would be. I know we have three dogs. One's a dachshund. The other two are cattle dogs. So different weights. So what would, it's probably on the, well, I don't know if it would be necessarily be on the back because it's a human drug. So knowing what is the dosage for your pet, if you needed to give that, if there was some allergic reaction, to kind of help that or to calm them down.
Yeah. And if you need, it's something you might be able to call your veterinarian about. And anytime you give medication, if there's an issue, another thing, important thing to have in your first aid kit is the poison center phone number.
Yeah.
And here in Washington, we're lucky because we can call the People Poison Center for pets. And that number is 1-800-222-1222. So they can answer that question, too, if you think you may have overdosed on Benadryl or something for your pet.
Well, this is great. You know, thanks so much for the information. It was definitely something that had been on my mind, especially since Japan's natural disasters that have happened. And really, I think it's really gotten us thinking about, oh, gosh, you know, that really could happen to us. And it really could. And we like to think that, it's everything is far away. But, you know, it really could. And so what can you do to be as prepared as possible to care for your pets, or to have other people lined up to care for your pets if you, for some reason, can't get home? Now, you teach pet first aid classes and stuff like that. So how can people get in touch with you if they might want to have you out and teach their community about pet first aid and this type of stuff?
So if you go to www.learnpetfirstaid.com, that's all spelled out, or you can find us on Facebook. We do classes all over the Seattle area and even outside of Seattle. And it's usually disaster preparedness for pets, as well as pet first aid with a lot of hands-on. It includes pet CPR also.
Mm, interesting. That's great. And so you guys are on Facebook. So if they search Learn Pet First Aid.
Correct.
And I'll also add you guys as one of our Facebook fan page favorites, too, so that you can find you can find Tim through the Dog Talk Show Facebook fan page as well. And I highly recommend that you become a fan, because you get to be a part of the conversation in between our Wednesday live shows. And like I mentioned as well, if you missed this show or any of our shows over the past 2.5 years, you can find them all archived online. You can go to www.dogtalkshow.com and click on the podcast page. All of our past shows will come up from our most recent to our very first, and there's a little play button that you can click on underneath the show that you want to listen to, and all the shows have a description if there's a guest, who the guest is. You can click on that. That will actually just start playing from your computer, so turn your sound on. And if you want to download the show and then put it on your iPod and maybe listen while you take your dogs for a walk, or maybe while you're bored on the treadmill, you can go to iTunes and download the Dog Talk Show podcast for free. Just go to Audio Podcasts and search for the Dog Talk Show. Tim, it was wonderful to meet you. Thank you so much for being here, and I look forward to having you back on the show to talk about other areas of expertise.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.